matches the right one. All right, if I may, I'd like to get started. This is the November 10th, 2022 Restructuring Advisory Committee meeting. And I'd like to begin with roll call.
Maribel Alvarez.
Present.
Patrick Robles.
Present.
Jennifer Darlin.
Present.
Ed Hendel.
Present.
John Aitken.
Present.
Bobby Jaramillo.
Present.
And Mark Crum.
Present.
Chairman Crum, with all members present, a quorum of the redistricting advisory committee is established.
All right. Eaton. Go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Aitken. Welcome and thank you for joining us on such short notice. We understand you are the new Ward 4 appointee to the committee. I just wanted to introduce you because you are online. So everybody on the committee, on your laptops in front of you, Mr. Aitken is present. He has taken the oath of office and can participate fully in your deliberations this evening.
Thank you.
All right, item number 2, approval of minutes from November 3rd, 2022. Any changes, additions? Hearing none, do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
I'd like to make a motion to approve. This is John Aitken. I'll make a motion to approve.
Is there a second?
I second that.
Thank you very much. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay, the minutes have been approved. Item number 3, call to the audience. Catherine Wiesel.
Hello. Hello. Can you hear me? Okay. My name is Catherine Wiesel. I'm a Ward 1 citizen representative. I'm also president of Enchanted Hills Neighborhood Association. I've been in that residence for over 20 years. I've also been in Ward 1 for over 20 years. Let me tell you, I'm very disappointed. I'm very disappointed with Ms. Maribel Alvarez, so worried about what the mayor and council want to make sure that they get their land, their precinct, their property, whatever. I can assure you that the last thing that Ward 1 needs is more responsibility. I can assure you that what we do not need is Ward 1 representation from Santa Cruz. We do not need more of no response to my neighborhood to get my washes clean, to get my roads done, to clean up my area, to compile trash cleanups. I do not need more non-response to crime in my area. I do not need more response code enforcement, non-compliancy. I do not need more response of someone taking our nuance. And for those of you who do not know what that is, that's our natural, undeveloped open spaces, which we really protect. We work with Tucson Mountain Park, the Barrios, the West Side Development, code enforcement, and SNAP. And we find this very offensive that all you worry about is that the mayor gets more. It's not acceptable. She does not take care of Ward 1. And maybe she does on the north end. Maybe she does downtown. But she does not take care of my neighborhood. She does not take care of anything south of Star Pass. She does not help take care of anything in before South Tucson or South Tucson, which I know is not her responsibility. So that way the rest of the neighborhood can all blend in. She does not need more. If anything, she needs less. The downtown area, the U of A area, has nothing, nothing in compliance with us as West Side Southwest people, trying to keep our natural open undeveloped spaces, trying to keep our barrios intact, which I find offensive that you bring in Ronstadt and name it after her when she was one of the biggest fighters against what you were doing in the barrios. So now she's a little sick and you name something after her. I find that offensive because we know Linda Ronstadt did not like what you did to the barrios, and we don't like it now what you're doing to the barrios. The barrios are historic. El Rio Park was the first civil rights protest ever in Tucson. And it started with Oyama getting married to his wife. Okay? We have Oyama Elementary right across the street from my neighborhood. We have down the road, we have La Cholla High School right down the road. We have Fred Archer Center right down the road. Those things tie us together to protect Ward 1 on our end. What you do downtown, what you do at the U of A is a whole different kind of living. It's a whole different reality. These people have been in their homes for 40 and 50 years. Some of them are being forced out now because of your infrastructure and your, oh, got to get eminent domain. I saw the video where you guys were schooled on how to take those properties. I saw that video February 8th. And I saw that video where you're talking about how you're doing this and you're doing that. Okay, let me tell you something. Maybe y'all should stop doing something and really participate in the community. Because I go out and I pick up trash. And you know what happened the last time I had a trash drive? Let me tell you what happened. I had it set up for 2 months. I called Tucson Clean and Beautiful. I had it all set up, went through the proper channels, went and got the tools, went and did everything I was supposed to do. Nobody showed up. Tucson Clean and Beautiful forgot my event. Heather came and took my picture with the trash in the back of my pickup. Okay, I used to clean my traffic island because at that time I was much younger. I had a trailer and I could do that. And I would get all the teenagers in the area. We'd clean it all up. We'd haul it all away. And then we would go for breakfast. That's what I call community. I used to have meetings. I had neighborhood meetings once a month. And I had to stop and cease, desist because A, I couldn't get into the Archer Center after a certain time. B, the library quit meetings. So for 2 years, I've not been able to have my neighborhood meetings. Okay? That's not acceptable. Our town is going in the pits. And all you want to concentrate is where the money is. Okay, maybe we don't have money, but we are community. We're the ones out there picking up the trash. We're the ones cleaning up our neighborhoods. We're the ones protecting our nuance, okay? We do not need more to go toward one until they start representing what is already there. And this map is not acceptable. Take your downtown, your little 47 and your 244, give it to the downtown. Give it to, I don't care who, but we do not need more responsibility. We already have a ton of responsibility. One, we never get police out there. Ever. Number two, we have drug runners running through our alleyways. Sufficient through Ward 1, letting everything just go. I'm done. I'll say, I don't like this map. I don't think Ward 1 deserves anything more. Because we are tired of dealing with 20 years of Ward 1, ignoring our amendment annexations. Okay? We voted on that. And now, in less than five minutes, they take it away and put in their land development, their housing. Housing that isn't even It doesn't even relate to our side of town because we're the working people and we have working homes. We have working incomes. Okay. We're not making $40,000-$50,000 a year. Some of us are lucky to make $10,000-$15,000 a year. And we have to stay in them homes because we couldn't afford to go anywhere else. And you have not, they have not done anything for our roads. I went downtown to Reed Park. She said, oh, come help us, come support us. We're going to get road money. We're going to get road money. We're going to get this. We're going to do that. I still haven't seen it. The only time my damn road got paved on Mission was when they had the bike El Tour. That's the only time you get a road paved is if you have a bike. I'm sick of it. I will protest every meeting, and I will put ads in the paper. I will do what I have to. Ward 1 needs nothing more.
Right. Thank you, Ms. Weasel. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Okay, hearing none. The call of the audience is now closed. Item number 4, consideration of the newest redistricting proposals. And I'd like to ask the city clerk to begin by just summarizing the high points between the proposals.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. At last week's meeting, you asked us to come up with another proposal using the proposal 2 map that you had last week with as minimum number of moves as we could make precinct-wise and keeping the MPD as low as we could. So we came up with proposal 2A, which I believe we're bringing up the map. And if you make any changes or ask us to change maps, it takes a few seconds, so we'll give Randy time, but I see you were ready. What we've done on this map is precinct 11, which is on the very bottom south end of what is currently Ward 4, and precinct 275 we proposed could be moved to Ward 5. Precinct 47, which is just south of South Tucson and actually encompasses South Tucson, would be moved to Ward 1. And precinct 244 would move from Ward 5 to Ward 1. Those were the only changes we made from the proposal 2 map, and it keeps the MPD at 2.96%.
Chairman Crum.
Yes, sir.
As the Ward 1 representative on this commission, I would like to note that boundaries are arbitrary. We live in the city of Tucson, and services serve everybody. And I believe some of these nuances tend to guide some of the critics of the proposal at hand. If folks aren't happy with representation, folks can run for office. That's the beauty of our democratic system. Now, I am still open to conversations around how we can continue to build a majority, add another majority-minority ward, and make sure that we are crossing this sort of barrier at hand, which is the freeway. The freeway has served as a barrier to redistricting for many years and has therefore concentrated the Latino population into 1 to 2 wards. It's going to take bold actions from this commission if we're going to try to diversify our wards and expand political power amongst our diverse Tucson community. And I like what I'm seeing so far in terms of the proposals with precinct 47, precinct 244. And I would like to see how else we can expand Ward 1 and Ward 5. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Is the question open now on 2A?
We have a discussion on 2A.
In fact, you can, if you have input on anything, you're more than welcome to do that. But 2A is on the table right now as well.
I like the work. I congratulate the city staff for really doing excellent work in short time. I was looking at 2A and wondering whether 37, precinct 37, 18, and 143, that little corner there by the freeway on the west of the freeway, could be made into Ward 3, since Ward 3 has the most potential for acquiring Hispanic votes, I think, representation. So that was just something that I was curious about in the map, if that little corner there west of the freeway could be adjacent to Ward 3, what would that give us? And I'm talking about 37, 18, and 143.
Would you like us to make those moves on the map now? And
My colleagues here are okay with just seeing how it plays out on the screen, I would. Yeah, it's this little corner.
And members of the committee, Mr. Chair, while we're doing that, there are two other maps for you tonight that we've just termed rough proportionality based on the motion last week to come up with a third majority-minority ward.
Okay.
Please, by all means, study them and make suggestions. This was just our work to try and get it done and give you something to review.
I would like to hear from the member of the commissions if they follow the logic of what I'm trying to say in terms of that little piece adding to three. Yeah, going to three. Mm-hmm. From one to three.
I wonder if that would reduce the population of Ward 1 in a way that would be counterproductive for the total MPD, because right now Ward 1 is too small, and so taking more away from them means we have to give even more to them from elsewhere if we're going to try to keep the populations equivalent among the wards.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and it may be that there's another, or the other adjacent districts precinct can make up for that. For example, 160 and 51. It's just the coloring, changing the colors. I believe they're somewhat arbitrary, the lines. I don't know what huge difference it will make, for example, to make that switch, turn those on the north side of one, turn them blue, and the ones on below on five turn them green, Just wondering. I'm not set on this, I'm just curious. Maybe almost a wash. Mm-hmm. Could we make those changes? Oh, okay, got it. Thank you.
So you can see the MPD with those moves is 18.7. Moving 160 and 51 from Ward 5 to Ward 1, and the other moves of 37, 18, and 143 from Ward 1 to Ward 3.
Okay, so that's the death of that idea.
No. Thank you. That's what this is all about. Throwing those things out and see what the impact is. Speaking of impact, I have two comments about from Ward 6. Precinct 42, you have a horizontal split, and actually more accurately, the split between the neighborhoods should be vertically. I don't even know if that makes a big difference in terms of population or not, but that's just, I'm just being, those are the details.
So can you give us a street for the vertical split?
Sure. Hold on just a moment. Let me find it.
I don't know if that's something we can do. We can. Okay.
Chair, is that Euclid Street? Would that be more of a horizontal or vertical?
Yes. Thank you. I think that's Euclid.
Okay, good. And the other consideration, whether or not this makes your job harder or easier, or it doesn't matter, but should you consider looking at precinct 72, if you would like to give that to Ward 3, we would not be opposed to that. Just a consideration. It doesn't matter one way or the other, but if you get into it and the trade-offs are getting difficult, you're certainly, you can make that.
So I believe we're making the vertical split in 42 now, and then when that's complete, we'll try the move of 72 to Ward 3.
Very good.
So this is based on Proposal 2A, correct? Okay, because in Proposal 2, Ward 72 is going to Ward 6. So now we're thinking about going the other way for a different map based on 2A?
That would be correct.
Cool, sounds good.
How does Ward 3 feel about that? Or do you have I just don't want to do something that you're...
Yeah. Well, let's see what the map shows.
We still have time to go back to our council members and talk about these things, but...
Yeah.
I just want to be out front with everybody here and say.
Yeah, I think I'd probably want to go back and speak with my council member about that, but certainly good to discuss in the meantime. I don't think it's very likely that he would oppose getting more people in his ward. I think the main concern was losing some of the people that Ward 3 has invested a lot of time and funds into. So this would be getting new people, not losing anybody.
Exactly.
So I don't foresee a lot of problems there, but I should probably double check.
And what were the precincts that Councilmember Dahl was concerned about losing?
Ward precinct 43 in particular was a important one. A lot of the kind of the west side ones, those are areas that are economically disadvantaged, and Ward 3 has put a lot of funds from various city programs into those wards and built a lot of relationships with them.
So I'd still like to entertain the original idea that my colleague, Dr. Alvarez, brought up about 37 and 18. I'm still trying to identify precincts that Ward 1 can possibly gain from Ward 5 in order to make up for that population loss. And I remember the term counterclockwise vaguely from our last meeting. So I want just bear with me throughout this evening. I'm just wanted to put that on bug in all of your ears, but 37 and 18 is still on the table for me.
So that would be like El Rio and Barrio Hollywood, correct? I'm looking at the neighborhood map now.
That's correct. And that's why I think that there's a common interest with Ward 3 in that sense, not only in terms of the Hispanic vote and rough proportionality, but also in terms of the council member Dahl's and intent in neighborhood building and support. There seems to be some contiguous interest there. I agree with maybe looking back at 37 that St. Mary's Speedway area.
I think it's certainly worth considering, although there's a good chance that people there would, I think I've heard that people in that area kind of identify as West Siders and they might not love the idea of moving. I don't know. I can't speak for people, but we should make sure that we give them plenty of notice if they want to come to the hearing, which I believe we have part two of the hearing next week. So we may want to see if they have thoughts on that.
We could also try to, I mean, the numbers that I offered before didn't work out in terms of the MPD, but there's almost like a swap between 37 and 143 can almost be swapped for 160 or 51 on District 5. So you will pull this, Ward 1 will go south more solidly.
So one thing we have to keep in mind in precincts is we cannot redistrict a council member out of their residence. I don't see that happening, but Ward 1 council office is in precinct 18.
18. Okay.
We need a lane.
Okay, that's important. Thank you. Thank you.
I didn't realize that.
So that wouldn't work.
In theory, you could still do 37 and 153, which is currently split.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could go further. You could do 97.
You can swap with district. You can swap with 5. Precincts 160 and 51, for example, which is sort of a little bit of a natural there, 12th Avenue, Drexel.
I think the new map that staff made last week, and again, thank you for making that, the rough proportionality map number 2 takes this idea and actually goes even further with it and basically brings most of Ward 3 in. Most of the west side into Ward 3 and moves Ward 1 south, and it's a whole counterclockwise shift. I think that this particular proposal would result in so many people moving that it might be chaos, but at least as a conceptual idea, this kind of moves in the direction that you're thinking about here.
Yeah.
I would like some clarification as far as the population breakdown on certain precincts, if I may. I'm looking at 183 and 262 on the east side. What would be the population breakdown there?
183 has 2,315 people. What was the other one?
2,315. And then 262 is a breakdown, 3,791. Is that correct?
That's what I have, yeah.
Okay. Now, are these whether you know, this is where I'm starting on the east side. But are we taking into consideration all registered voters here, or just the population?
The maps have a breakdown of all voters, voting age population, minority voting age population, and general
population.
Are they
actually registered voters, or we don't know? That's another question, right?
Right.
Okay, that's to me, it's a big factor. If we had that, I mean, it'd be nice if they were all registered voters and we can all get them there some way or another.
I'm not sure that the number of registered voters is something that the committee should consider.
Yeah. But it's something now.
So the voting population in our population by precinct document is voting age, not necessarily registered voters. Okay, thank you.
Now, on 113, we have a figure there of 6,214. Is that just now? What would be the breakdown on 113, the 624, if 113 was split from ward 4 to 6? We have 6,214 there, but we don't have where the cutoff line would be. How many registered or possible voters would be on one side on the north versus the south of that line?
Commissioner Jaramillo, could you speak into the mic? I'm having a hard time hearing.
Okay. On 113, we have a number there, 6,214. If you were to break that down to ward 6 and 4, what are the numbers there? Like you do have, like you have distinguished in 183 and 263, we have 2315 on one on the north side of it, and 3791 on this one. It just says 6,214 and doesn't distinguish from one side to the other.
Members of the committee, the population information is available via the, they're called census blocks within here. So if you're looking at the screen now, when I am clicking in, you can kind of see it highlight. And we can see that within this block that you can see on the screen, there are 68 population there. So we can definitely get you that number, but it would have to be a calculated number after clicking on each and every one of these blocks separately.
So each precinct is divided or is contained by census blocks, which are much smaller geographic areas. We would have to click into each one and put them into a spreadsheet and come up with a total for the split precincts.
Is there a possibility of doing that for future?
For future meetings, yes. Do you want that for all the splits or just?
I'd like to see it for 113. Which is, it doesn't signify, 82, 153, and then if we're going to consider 37 going into Ward 3, and that one, I, if I can voice myself on that one, that would be, I know a lot of folks that live in that area, and it's they would probably feel the same way that 82 felt when they were here last week as far as moving out of Ward 1.
I'm sorry, which one are we talking about? Which precinct?
37 going to.
Okay, thank you.
Ward 3. Oh, really? Yeah, because that Barrio Sobaco. And a lot of those folks have been living there for generations, and I'm sure that they wouldn't want to be taken out of Ward 1. And then I have, I'd like to see a population split. And then 47, from my understanding, 47 is in South Tucson?
Most of 47 is South Tucson, but there's a portion on the north and the south that are City of Tucson in okay. Ward 1.
On 47, okay. Now, if we're, if 244 is proposing to go to 41 and 1, from 5 to 1, and it's, what's the split there? What would be the split there? The population breakdown. Yeah.
The population of 244.
244 is 2,077. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then 47 is 3,342. Of all those folks, are they living in South Tucson? Mm-hmm. For the most part. And then also the recommendation of 160 going to Ward 1. I can guarantee you that wouldn't be a good move at all. Because those folks have been there for God knows how long as well.
Which map has 160 going to Ward 1?
No, it was just a recommendation.
Just a
Okay, gotcha. Thank you. So just to zoom out a little bit briefly. Oh, sorry, were you?
No, go ahead. I would just like to see the breakdown of population breakdown in those areas that I brought up. If I may, for the future meeting.
So just to zoom out a bit. Go ahead.
I don't know if I mentioned 153 or not. That's the last I have.
You did. Thank you. Okay, thank you. 153.
I think it's worth kind of going over some of the big picture that we have here. I guess I'm curious to hear the committee's thoughts more broadly. So we have the status quo, which is not actually legal, according to the federal courts, to continue. So we have to do something. Then we have proposal one, which was met with staunch opposition from the Broadmoor neighborhood last at the public hearing. We have proposal two, and then now 2A, which are pretty similar. As far as I can tell, those don't have an enormous amount of opposition, at least not that we've seen on this committee. Proposal three, which had a lot of opposition from the historic neighborhoods moving that did not want to move from Ward 6 to 1. We saw that at the hearing last week. And then we have the two rough proportionality maps, which I'm guessing we all agree are too radical, and it was just like hundreds of changes, and that would probably be tough to do that within a two-week period. Again, if anyone feels differently, please let me know. I'm just kind of saying my opinion here. So it seems like the consensus both among the committee and the population, from our comments that we've received by email and the public hearing, is that we should either do 2A, or something new. I'm curious to hear the committee's thoughts on that.
And to add on to your comments, I like to respectfully disagree with my colleague and friend, Mr. Jaramillo. I believe this is what has held our city back from growing and being bold, is by us using these arbitrary barriers to identify who we are, where we come from. I used to live on 12th and Nebraska. Let's see, where is that at right now? That's in Ward. Sorry, I don't have my glasses. I was going to be in Ward 5. If that precinct moved to Ward 1, I wouldn't be identifying myself as a West Sider all of a sudden. I'd be from the South Side because that's the South Side. I still want to keep the conversation going in seeing what we can do to expand Ward 1 beyond the freeway. I've been paying attention to the Biden-Harris administration. They've been talking about how we need to rid infrastructure as serving as these sort of natural but not so natural barriers to communities growing. And, you know, we've got to roll the dice here. And, you know, I'm in Ward 1 right now, and I'm just down the street. And if Ward 5 acquired my precinct, I'd know I was still living in downtown, not the south side, right? And just wanted to add those comments there.
Just to clarify, when you say not letting the freeway be a barrier, do you mean adding precincts that are currently in Ward 5 and moving them to Ward 1, like around like 160, 51, like those, or am I misunderstanding?
All right, there's so many maps. I mean, if we look at the original map, the Ward 1 is drawn all along the freeway. And maybe you drive or walk just across the street and the precinct is still there. But, like, we need to challenge the norm here, folks. And I think we do so by 37 and 18 going into Ward 3. I'd love to continue to entertain the conversation about 160 and 51 going into Ward 1. Ward 3 would gain 7,150 residents. Ward 1 would gain 8,533, and I'm sure that doesn't count children who aren't 18 yet. But I'm still, again, having trouble to seeing, okay, what can make up for the 8,500 loss for Ward 5. So I'm still looking at these precincts and then, of course, see what Ward 4 gets in terms of Ward 5 going into Ward 1. But, yes, that's how my response.
Chairman Crum.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
sir. Respectfully, my colleague here, I would totally disagree of putting 160 and 151 into Ward 1. I know you wanted to expand Ward 1, but at the cost of moving 160 and 51, I would have to stand my ground on those two. Personally, I've lived in 160 for over 60 years, and I know the community well, as 160 and 51 as well. So for us just to sit here and say, hey, tradition goes out, I won't agree with that. And I know the folks that live in that area as well have been there for a good 70 years, 75 years. And I will stand firm on moving those. Thank you.
I respect Mr. Jaramillo's perspective there, that I can see the loyalties people have to just, you know, Ward 5 and versus 1. I've done some work in that area. I understand it. I'm not sure that we should dismiss, however, Mr. Robles' point about 37. I know that that's El Rio neighborhood, Barrio Sobaco, mm-hmm. But that's exactly to the point that he's making, that the freeway becomes the natural barrier. And I learned a new term this week, just doing some research and reading. When the Supreme Court in 1994 allowed for the notion of rough proportionality, the counter side to dilution, to diluting the vote, is something called packing. And that's where the real problem is, in that you're packing a particular ethnic vote to a certain area. So diluting sounds more like, oh, okay, well, you know, take a few here. But that's really not even the point. The point that we should be talking is, to the extent that we continue to understand the demographics of the city, and that we continue to understand that we are packing Hispanic votes into two districts, and not when we possibly have the power or the possibility of doing something a little hybrid. I don't think, looking at the rough proportionality maps, that this commission will be in a position to, in good faith, fully recommend any of those. They're really disruptive. What we can do is what we say we would do, which is advise council and mayor to say, you have a real serious issue here as the next 2 years come and the demographics of the city change. And you really ought to even have a metric or a guideline as to how is it that the city charter will consider dilution. Like, when does that happen? You know, like, we don't have a clear metric. But we do have the opportunity to get closer to it by trying to make some attempts. Right now, that seems most likely by tweaking further to A. Map 2A seems to give us, and that may have to mean something like precinct 37, 18, or 143, you know, being the ones that we can possibly realign with Ward 3. Again, I'm not set on it, but I'm saying Mr. Jaramillo is right, and Mr. Robles is also right, and we have to do something that balances those two.
I'll just remind you that Ward 1 Council Office, Precinct 18.
Excluding 18.
So the rule is we can't move a precinct where the current city council member lives or where the council office is. Is that correct? Okay. Thank you.
That's just 18. 143 is okay. Yeah, we can play with that in 37. And I understand. I mean, yeah, you know, we have had historic fights in this city over that area in 37. So it's not like I'm saying that's going to be of everybody's liking. But it will send the message that Mr. Robles is talking about in terms of the freeway, breaking that barrier for saying we're not going to just accept that anymore as the only measure of contiguous power.
I don't know where the current council member from Ward 1 lives. Is she in 37? 18. Oh, okay. Well, that simplifies it. So there's just one that's completely off limits, but the rest we can play with.
Chair Crum. Well, I want to basically just acknowledge, you know, the really important context that my colleagues are offering with respect to the impacts on these neighborhoods that are really rooted in a great deal of tradition and community. And I have a great deal of respect for that. And I feel very much like I'm vocalizing a perspective here that I want to be very sensitive to things that of which I do not know. Thinking about things from a global perspective, knowing to what my colleague, Mr. Robles, noted, thinking about the infrastructure projects that our city is going to be looking at to improve the economic situation for folks who live along that corridor and the economic opportunity for communities and neighborhoods that have missed out on some really important revenue for the revitalization and things that can reflect the needs of folks who are residents there. I think it's important to have a cohesive representation there, and I do agree that sometimes having some of these artifices that do create divide are also obstruction to community connection to those opportunities, and it creates barriers economically as well. The one thing that I just would encourage that I, when we are looking at getting to a proportionate state, which is important to me because I live, you know, in Precinct 99 in Ward 2, I have very little minority representation in my ward. I can do only so much to vote with that in mind, but the more I can have neighbors who can bring in different mindset, the more I like to see us get there as a community. The question that I would have for staff is, do we continue to study this outside of the redistricting process so that we can sort of see change over time to see, are we getting to that community goal for ensuring that we aren't packing? To my colleague's point, because that is absolutely correct, we want to avoid that as well, but are we getting to this so we can start to see that mobility of representation and for future committees' work, but also to know that we're getting to that bigger, broader goal of making sure that our voting population, our wards, are properly representative of the folks who are residing in our city.
If I could, I'd like to ask the city clerks to report back on the impact of some of the changes that are being proposed upon equalizing population.
We can do that. And if I may address what was just said, I believe it's been brought up at last week or the week before that the possibility of part of your recommendation being that while we may need to redistrict by December 31st, the work can go on with updates in population, periodic meetings of this committee or another one designated by mayor and council to really get into the meat, so to speak, of the redistricting process.
Chairman Crum, I think that's it. And thank you for that comment. That's exactly what I think we will. We can recommend that we did the job that we were asked to do to the best of our ability with what we have and the time. But I think that our recommendation that a study group or a task force be established. And not only that, but that task force engages in a very proactive series of forums, conversation, neighborhoods about what would it look like to have that rough proportionality interpreted. Because if people are going to feel the pain of some change, it should be plenty of time to deliberate on that. With public forums and arguments and debates and maps. At the same time, that commission should also try to establish some kind of metric that would be acceptable in the city charter. But what would rough proportionality mean here? Does it mean, because we have one metric, which is the MPD, but we don't have one that tells us exactly, oh, that one doesn't meet this criteria. And so that would be part of a super welcome recommendation that our report will be hefty.
Chairman Crum.
Yes, sir.
I just want to ask the whole committee where we're feeling right now, what the vibe is, because I know I've thrown out some numbers, and I just want to know if we want to bring out another proposal with some of the discussions around the precincts that I proposed, and if we feel like that would be worth a conversation next week. I just wanted to just kind of get an idea where folks are feeling.
My main comment on that is I feel like we should try to have some kind of resolution by the end of this meeting, at least on what our current favorite is. Not necessarily certainly not an official recommendation yet, but because last time around, we got a lot of very justified complaints from the public about how maps came out one or two days before the hearing. And I just want to remind everybody the next and last hearing is next Thursday. And so if we say to staff right now, please make a new map, and that takes some time, and then it takes another couple days to get that out in the paper and everybody's newsletters and stuff, we're going to have the exact same complaints we had last time, which, again, I think we all feel were very justified. And so I think if we can end today's meeting either with endorsing, you know, or going into the hearing saying that we are most closely looking at, you know, 2 or 2A, or another map that we create right now during this meeting, that would be good. But I don't totally feel comfortable with asking staff to make a new one and do all that before next week. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if we want to make a map that just moves like 37 and mm-hmm. 52 or whatever it may be, and we want to do that right now on the spot, and then we endorse it at the end of this meeting. In theory, I'm fine with that, but I just think we should try to have a conclusion at the end of this meeting.
This proposal is put out in front of us. Gives us a kind of the MPD that we would desire, probably not the best, but it's pretty close to what we've had been discussing as far as moving the minimal amount of precincts and not having to jeopardize the concerns of our community members that were here with us last week. I think they would be satisfied with this proposal. But as far as moving the precincts, respectfully, with Mr. Robles, the recommendation that he made from 160 and 51 to go to 1, that would not meet the needs of the community.
Are there others from Ward 5 that could be moved into Ward 1 besides 160 and 51 that would?
Yeah, 47 and 244.
Yeah, I think those are the ones, those are already moved in 2A. Are there more that could be moved, or is the rest kind of like that would be a bigger problem?
Personally, for Ward 5, I feel that would be a bigger problem.
Okay. Thank you.
Chairman Crum, Mr. Hadamiel, is it in the interest of Ward 5 to expand a little bit more east? I'd like to learn more about where the council member is feeling on that.
That would be probably a discussion that I'd have to have with them.
I'll also point out that in 2 and 2A, they are expanding quite a bit on the southeast side with 275 and 11. Mm-hmm.
Can we redo in the map right now in lifetime, in real time, moving only 37 and 143 to 3 and see what that gives us?
Have you talked to council member Santa Cruz?
Yes. Yes, I have spoken to council member Santa Cruz. And, you know, quite frankly, we're very much of the interest, in the interest of moving beyond the freeway. I think this is, so I'm definitely okay with that, Commissioner Alvarez.
I'm interested in learning more about why certain communities have loyalty to certain wards. I think we heard some last week at the public hearing, and apologies if this is obvious to anyone, but I think a lot of people don't even know what ward they're in. They might not show much loyalty. Certainly other people do, and that's very justified, but I'm just as a matter of curiosity and just to hear, so anyone listening to this meeting can hear, Councilmember Jaramillo, could you elaborate on why 160 and 51 identify with Ward 5? I'm not trying to challenge it. I'm just genuinely curious.
By all means. 160 and 51 have been there for quite some time. I personally live in 160. I wouldn't want to move out of Ward 5. And I feel, as the people from Ward from 82 felt last week, as far as being established there, and I would tend to disagree. If you ask people about who their ward is, they know down there. Okay, they do know, and they have known for quite a few years, not decades. So that's why I feel so strongly about moving those two out of the Ward 5.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is that the staff? Yeah.
So we have a new MPD of 11.31%, moving precinct 37 and 143 to Ward 3.
11. Oh, that looks good.
But that's not legally allowed, right? Well, it is technically allowed, but it's, I believe it's like we're no longer presumptive. I don't remember the terminology.
Members of the committee, Chair Crum, Madam Clerk, that's well stated. Yeah, it's doable, but it, you are not within the presumptive validity anymore.
Listen.
I have a question about the policy objectives that were listed in the city website. The presumptive validity is not listed as one of our key criteria, Madam Clerk.
Apologies, that's an oversight. The policy objectives were actually an attachment to that very description of presumptive.
Okay.
Okay.
If we want.
Thank you.
I thought I gotcha.
If we want to move 37 into Ward 3, and the people in 160 and 51 feel strongly about, you know, being in Ward 5, we could consider 246, 64, 50, just like directly east of South Tucson in that area. I don't know if people would oppose that, but I'm just looking at the map and thinking of what all the possibilities are, and that seems like 246, 64, and 50, which would just be, so we're already adding in map 2A. We're adding 47 and 244 from Ward 5 to Ward 1. I just mentioned three more precincts that are contiguous with those that we're moving. We could, in theory, move those too. I don't have any knowledge or thoughts on whether the people there would oppose that, but I don't know. It's worth at least considering.
I think we have a council member who lives in 246.
Okay.
We will provide that list to you. Okay. Before the next meeting.
Okay, thank you.
So 64 and 50 maybe should be considered? Or maybe if we could just check that on the map, if you could take 2A, move 37 to from Ward 1 to Ward 3, as Council Member, Committee Member Robles suggested, and then maybe try moving 50 or 64, I guess start with 50 maybe. Does anybody know if people there would oppose that? 50?
Right there by,
it's right next to 244 and 47, and so it sort of makes some amount of sense to consider moving that as well, number 50.
And you know, I think at the, and I'm certainly open to consideration, but I just want to touch on it again. At the end of the day, if folks don't want to move out of a ward because of a council member, what happens in 2 to 4 years when that council member is not there anymore and they get somebody they don't like? You know, my intentions going into this is making sure we have equity, we have an equitable spread of City of Tucson residents and wards throughout this city.
Mr. Crum?
Yes, sir.
I don't think, respectfully, it would be who's in office at the time. It would be more likely that the ward that they belong to and have belonged to, regardless of who represents them, is where they want to be, in Ward 5, in 160 and 51. I'm just speaking on behalf of those wards and the other wards that are within Ward 5. Thank you.
Mr. Jaramillo, you didn't see that same conflict with 47 and 244?
Well, I do. But the conversations that I've had with the ward office, and, you know, and I, there is a concern there as well.
But it's not as highly elevated as it would be on 160. Okay. Thank you.
So from what I gather from what Mr. Robles said is that you spoke with Councilmember Santa Cruz and she would be okay with giving 37 to Ward 3, is that correct?
Yes, it's a proposal we'd be willing to entertain.
Okay.
As we move across the freeway.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I think I heard in the past that, so that's El Rio, right? I've heard in the past that, was it last time or two times ago when they did redistricting, that 37, they tried to move that, and the residents were extremely upset, sort of in the same way that we saw last week at the hearing from 82 and 44 and 45. And so I don't know for sure if that would happen again, but my understanding is that that happened pretty recently, and so we should be very prepared for the possibility that they're going to be very upset about this if we do propose that. Just a comment.
Thank you.
And that goes to the point that my colleague here made earlier, though, that by locking in that loyalty, there's also a short-sightedness about the possibilities for development and breaking that artificial barrier of the freeway. I mean, Ward 3, which has a mix, I mean, it's as mixed as almost any. I live on 3. I mean, I drive through my neighborhood, and it's like I'm in two different cities, right, all the time. But because of that, that ward also is positioned to do incredible work of community development, of housing, renovations. There's a lot of things there. And so for us to only consider that loyalty when, in fact, that neighborhood where I have friends who live there on 37, it stands to benefit from the broader global approach to the growth of our city. Is something that really weighs on me. Whether people would see it or not, that's a really good point, but we're really looking here ahead.
Chairman Crum?
Yes, sir.
As far as, could you elaborate on how the growth would affect Precinct 37 and those are, I mean, I've personally, what I've seen, unfortunately, 37 has been the same for decades. There has been no improvements there. Right? There hasn't. And, you know, as a long life resident of Tucson, I haven't seen 37, 97, and 16. Well, maybe 16 because it's on the other side of Greasewood. But as far as those, they're in dire need of improvements. And that's been known for quite some time. And yet, nobody addresses those issues.
I live in that area. I can definitely tell you Silver Bell Road is bump, 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 bump.
Well, yeah,
I feel like
it's going to
destroy my car every time I drive down.
And I agree with you. I wholeheartedly agree with you that the roads citywide, they're in dire need. I feel for 37. You know, I was there last week. I played a lot of ball there, Murrieta. And they're going to be improving that park finally. You know, I always compare our side of town, the west side of town, versus the east side of town.
Mm-hmm.
And what's provided for those folks and what's provided for the folks on this side of town. And it's never been equitable. Never. I don't care what anybody has to say. I've seen it. I've lived it. So for them to say, I would love to see improvements in 37 and all the other areas on one. And for every precinct and every ward to be equally treated the way they should be treated, whether it comes to funding for roads, for parks, libraries, and the list goes on. But unfortunately, it's not the case. Thank you.
I would not disagree with the general sentiment of your statement. When I was a student at the University of Arizona in 1994, I lived in 37. I could rent a house for $400. I was a graduate student, you know. And I have friends who live there. I go visit them, and there have been changes. Not contrary to the spirit of what you're saying, but across from my friend's house, there's a really nice park, and there are housing developments and improvements. I'm not disagreeing with the sentiment. I'm saying that there are opportunities for continuous development in those areas, and I don't think that the neglect is absolute. It's also part of the economic development picture of where the development happens in terms of businesses in the city. And that's why I think that Council Member Dahl has spoken to that with a certain freshness that I think would be important to that. But again, we're on the same side here. I don't disagree with the sentiment.
Right. And to add on to that note, I completely agree. You know, drive around the city, we know those areas where, you know, for the past 10 years, they've been looking the same. You know, at the 8 p.m., I go get my horchata, you know, roads are just the worst and all that. But, it's at the end of the day, it's worth, in my opinion, going bold and moving this district as a proposal, moving 37 into Ward 3 and seeing how folks feel about that. And see what we can do to move across I-10 and continue to expand this city, these wards beyond the natural barriers that have been in place for far too long. I would, as a young person who's going to be in the city for a very long time, I believe it's our responsibility to make sure we're setting these wards up for success for decades to come. And I think we have a real opportunity in front of us to lay the groundwork for that. And it's taking these little pieces at a time is how we do so, in my opinion.
Yeah, I appreciate the discussion on artificial barriers and manufactured barriers and moving beyond the traditional ways of how precincts and wards have been done in other jurisdictions. And I look at street improvements that not only move across precincts, but move across wards. And all of a sudden, you have a larger population that is not confined to a precinct or precincts, but go across wards. And more, I would agree that we have to look at a changing world in terms of how cities are set up in terms of wards, quite frankly. So thank you for those comments. I really appreciate them.
Thank you, Chairman Crum.
You're welcome.
Chairman Crum?
Yes, sir.
And, you know, I personally feel that it shouldn't matter what ward or precinct that individuals live. I just feel that when it comes to improvements, whether roads improvements, housing improvements, it should be done equitably citywide. Without taking into consideration where you live. You know, everybody should have the fair shake of that purse. And I know it doesn't happen for whatever reason. And it's traditionally been like that for decades. You know, it's unfortunate. You know, where I live, on the, right off on the Old Nogales Highway and 6th Avenue, I can show you where the last time we had payment on Nebraska. That was 1963. Why? Because I took it upon myself to put my initials there along with one of my buddies. It was 1963. And that's the last time we've ever seen any type of roads improvements there. Mm-hmm. So I know. And then you go elsewhere and you see all these wonderful roads being built and whatnot. I know they're done and funding comes from different sources. But, you know, spread the wealth. And that's the way it should be done. Right. Not just concentrate on one area. Thank you.
Of course, I've had experience where someone else comes in and says, you need this improvement. Mm-hmm. And the neighborhood or neighborhoods in this particular case say, no, we don't. And it doesn't get done. Sometimes improvements for improvement's sake really isn't in terms of what the neighbors want. Can't do that.
Do we have a picture of 2A with 37, only with the 37 precinct change? Is that the one on the board? No, not yet. Let's take a look at that. See what that gives us.
I just want to, I just Googled it to confirm the memory that I had, and I found an article from 2020 saying, the Tucson City Council bent to public pressure Tuesday night and reversed a decision to redistrict a historic Hispanic neighborhood to a different council ward. El Rio Acres, which is 37, the one we've been talking about, would have been reassigned from Ward 1 to Ward 3 under a plan approved by council. But the council changed course after pushback from West Side residents. And then there's a bunch of quotes, and there's an online petition on moveon.org that had 350 signatures that people didn't want to move. Again, all I'm saying is if we do this, people are going to be, I mean, I can't see why they would be less upset this time than they were 2 years ago. So I would expect quite a bit of public outrage if we do this.
Agree.
At the same time, I have historic documentation of a memo in support of the council's of the previous proposals from the top five Latino voter representation organizations in the state, Lucha, Chispa, others that said that change would have been good because it was moving us closer to in the original proposals. So, I mean, that's an interesting contrast right there.
Mm-hmm. Now, and on that note, Commissioner Alvarez, I'd like to ask, you know, see if there's any institutional knowledge here. But on 2A, we have precincts 47 and precincts 244 being acquired by us. Is there any reason to believe that those precincts wouldn't be defiant towards this particular proposal?
That I don't know. And that's a good, very good question, Mr. Robles. Very good question.
I think the only evidence we have for that is that was in Proposal 2 as well, and no one came to the hearing and spoke against that. I don't even think we saw any. We got hundreds of email comments, and I don't remember any of them being from those wards. So, I mean, from those precincts. So I think if they've sort of had a couple weeks to be outraged, and we haven't heard it yet. So that's at least some evidence.
Is that the change that, Mr. Robles, you have your map there?
Mm-hmm.
37. 2-3.
Can you read out the numbers, madam?
So we have precinct 37 moved from Ward 1 to Ward 3, and precinct 143 moved from Ward 3 to Ward 1.
From 1.
And that brings us an MPD of 7.93%.
I'm moving those two.
That's a decent number. The Supreme Court would agree.
And what about the demographics, minority and Hispanic, and the total number in the ward?
We're bringing that up.
Yep.
As we're doing this, I'm reading more. I found the petition. 393 people signed the petition to stop specifically Ward 30, Precinct 37 from being moved from Ward 1 to 3. I guess I'm a little nervous about, I mean, this is just 2 years ago that this happened. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like they are going to be rightfully furious if we say, okay, well, we'll cave to the public pressure 2 years ago, but then we're just going to try again in 2 years. I feel like that's kind of bad governance. Like, the will of the people should be heard for more than one, you know, redistricting at a time. If this is the exact thing that they were furious about last time, we should listen to their thoughts and consider these petitions. And I feel like it's sort of just overall bad governance to try to do this again after we as a city, not this committee, but we as a city agreed to not do this last time. I think trying again in 2 years is just not a good look.
I wasn't here 2 years ago, and I'm using my judgment this time. I don't know that that's the will of the people can be represented by those numbers.
Jennifer.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm not very good with math, but by my calculation of the 393 with the voters represented here on this map, we're talking about 14% of the folks were able to sway that decision. And so I think that that's, you know, numbers tell a story. And I guess what I come back to, and maybe forgive me for an ignorant question, but does any neighborhood lose its historic designation when we redistrict into a different ward? Is there a loss of historical significance when we change a ward or property value or taxation rate that I'm not aware of that I didn't read in any of the documentation prepared for us? I don't mean to be acting.
No.
It's just one of those things where I appreciate that there's a great deal of sentiment 2 years ago, but I do sort of say that one of the things that the people we represent and the mayor have is this responsibility to make decisions that, yes, take into consideration the 14%, but what's also what's good for the balance of the whole. That's just my 2 cents. I appreciate that there's a document about this, but I also just feel like to hold back from making a meaningful contribution to a decision for the mayor and council to consider because we're worried about a petition of 14% of a particular precinct, I think denies our council and our mayor the opportunity to reconsider mm-hmm. under present day circumstances.
Of course, ours is just a recommendation. And we're obligated by law to look at a very limited number of variables that we can legitimately consider. And I will admit my own ignorance when I look at a neighborhood and say, okay, I know how they feel. And I'm absolutely wrong that they really doesn't matter to them. And that's why I say this tonight, what ward they happen to be in, because the wards are so closely connected to each other, regardless of who, mm-hmm. Just regardless. And I thought I knew how they felt. No, they didn't feel that way at all. They didn't care. So I feel really reluctant to speak for certain neighborhoods because I am proven to be wrong.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I've been advised by our great legal advisor that there are no consequences to historic neighborhoods and taxation if wards are changed, ward boundaries change.
Well, and I appreciate the clarification. And I certainly, you know, I don't want to be overly presumptive that I know better than anybody. I certainly do not. This process has been very illuminating. But one of the things that I shared with the clerk before we came to order was that, you know, we're very fortunate in our community. Any one of the members with whom we sit here to represent on this body, I would be more than happy to be represented by. I think that we live in a city that for all of its flaws has a mindset and a vision for our population that takes into consideration what's in the best of interest of the people who are largely marginalized folks, as well as balancing that with the needs for economic development and things that really keep Tucson being a nationally recognized destination for a lot of investment from both national organizations and global enterprises. So I don't mean to get on a soapbox about it necessarily, and the sensitivity and the historic value that my colleagues have presented has been very helpful. So thank you for allowing my moment.
Thank you.
Chairman Crum, I believe that the comment is correct that this would be a political fight, but that's not for us to decide. What we have to do is present a proposal that says we met the objectives. It would be below the threshold of the law that we require. It will move one district closer to proportionality, not perfect, but it moves it. So that's two. Check, check. It actually disrupts the natural barrier of the freeway, which is a precedent to begin to change how we might consider this. Check, three. And to me, that would be good enough to say, in good conscience, these met the criteria of the job that we were asked to do, and we're putting it forward. The public then can say to the council, oh, absolutely not, and the council can vote and do what they did last time. In that report you read, it says cave. So that's okay, because that process will continue. We will just make a recommendation, And on top of that, we would be making a recommendation that this process has requires a deeper and broader thinking ahead of 2 years from now. And I would feel pretty good about making a recommendation like that.
Chairman Crum, thank you, my fellow commissioners, Darlin and Alvarez. One, again, as I've been saying this throughout the evening, we need to stop allowing for wards to determine what our neighborhood identity is going to be. We're still going to live in our neighborhoods, whether we're, no matter what precinct our ward lands, ward our priests are, it's been a long evening, whatever precinct our ward lands in. Commissioner Alvarez, you mentioned you weren't here 2 years ago. Neither was I. And quite frankly, I'd be willing to entertain Precinct 37 and moving to Ward 3. And with that, and then when was it, 160, the alternative precinct we were proposing? With all that being said, I just want to say thank you for your comments. You pulled up an article. Where was that article published?
Arizona Public Media, PBS, NPR.
Okay.
And then the petition was on moveon.org. I guess the highway thing is definitely an interesting idea. I don't think that's really in our official guidelines to try to move across the highway, and this MPD is about double the MPD of 2A, I believe. Actually, it's almost triple. So I think it's worse in terms of the MPD, and it's a lot worse in terms of public outcry. I guess I don't really see why this is better. I see some merits, but we have a proposal that people seem to like. It doesn't make a ton of sense to say our recommendation is going to be something that outrages people and the exact same thing that outraged people 2 years ago. I feel like if this committee ends up recommending that, we won't have really done our jobs.
But I think the discourse is necessary, to be frank. I certainly believe the discourse is necessary, not just for discussions, but for the future of the city. I'm thinking about the future here, and it's the same old, and Ward 1 and isn't interested in the status quo. Just give me a few seconds. So if my colleagues could, Commissioner Alvarez, and Commissioner Darlin, we've discussed Precinct 37. I'm trying to remember the alternative, the additional precinct that we were going to swap. Was that from Ward 5? That was 160, correct?
Yeah, but that has been...
Oh, that's right. Excuse me.
Mr. Jaramillo has spoken. It's 143.
Okay. Thank you.
These numbers include 37 and 143. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So they wouldn't be the only singled right. out prison.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't 143 be, I guess I'm a little lost on the logic here. Moving 140, are we saying moving 143 to Ward 3? But then doesn't that make the highway thing worse? That's now re-separating by the highway.
Yeah, that's correct. But I think 143 was just thrown in there as part of the numbers balancing. It probably doesn't meet that criteria of the freeway. You're right. So we could probably do one where it's only 37.
Yes, the map right now has 143 in Ward 3, or excuse me, Ward 1. And 37 is in Ward 3.
So the map is that.
Okay.
Madam Clerk, do you have any access to the map that was proposed 2 years ago that constituted some of the conversations we're dealing with right now?
For 37?
Yes.
It might be part of the material in your binders. If it's not, we can access that map.
Chairman Crum?
It's
for
tab 10. It's in, and yes.
Just to point of a discussion. Traditionally, okay, 37, for reason, the folks there traditionally go back and they will speak up. Okay. They have for many, many years. So if you want to recommend that, but also inform them that what is happening and maybe invite them to a public meeting or invite them to the public meeting to see what they have to say as well. Because they're a feisty bunch. And I know that from past history in this city. Okay. They do speak up. They might not speak up right now, but they speak up pretty loud when it need be. Right? So,
yes, I did. Thank you.
I just want to throw that out. Thank you.
Was there any controversy around 89 going to Ward 6? Last time, does anybody recall anything?
I would have to review the minutes of those meetings. We presented two options to Mayor and Council. Option A was to move Precinct 37 from Ward 1 to Ward 3, Precinct 89 from Ward 3 to Ward 6, and 160 from Ward 5 to Ward 1. That option was not adopted by Mayor and Council. Instead, we moved Precinct 98 was split at the time, and we moved the entire precinct into Ward 6. And that's what was adopted by Mayor and Council, just that one change.
Mr. Robles and members, what about 45? Oh, it's not contiguous. Never mind. We're trying to give it to 3. Never mind. That wouldn't work.
I guess I'm a little confused why all the talk of 37. Like, 14% of all the people who live there signed a petition. I actually think that's quite high. I mean, If 14% of the United States signed the petition, that would be 42 million people. That would be a huge deal. I don't know. I mean, I think that level of civic engagement is quite high. Like, how could you expect to get, like, more than half of the people in a whole precinct to sign an online petition? I feel like I'm missing something here. Why does Ward 1 want to give up people who want to stay in Ward 1 to the point where we would take a map that has almost triple the population variance and would enrage hundreds of people? I just don't get it. I feel like there must be something I'm missing here.
Well, this goes back to my comments at the top of this meeting. I'm thinking about the future of the city. We have two wards right now that are minority-majority. I don't believe that's healthy for our local democracy. We need to have more diversity in our wards if we want to make sure that we're expanding the political power that comes with minorities being in just two wards. And I believe that comes with, so we have that. Then we also have the fact that the freeway has acted as a historical barrier. I believe that we're in a moment in time to where we can challenge these notions that have plagued these redistricting commission conversations for the past, you know, few commissioner convenings of this commission. And it obviously didn't work out last time. But I don't believe that what happened at the meetings 2 years ago should dictate the decision that this committee, or the recommendation that this committee will form for mayor and council to make a decision on before the year ends.
And if I may, taking this a little bit out of order, though, I woke up last night worrying about this and wrote something up in terms of, we talked about the whole area of presenting the mayor and council with a specific section called additional consideration. And I said, in my half-sleepy way, the committee also discussed at length varying options which could designate another minority ward within the boundaries of the existing six wards. While the committee's efforts were not successful at the time, now I'm saying this, the committee thought it important nonetheless for the mayor and council to be formally involved in a continuing discussion of this matter. Accordingly, the committee is requesting that the city clerk report to the mayor and council not less than once annually the changing and shifting populations, along with the attendant maps, which would drive the creation of the additional minority ward. And I think it's important that there's a report annually that the mayor and council get, because being in the bureaucracy once upon a time, sometimes these things are forgotten. If they have to report, then they'll be reported. And the good news is that the city clerk reports to the mayor and council.
Quick question of clarification.
What I did do is then, this isn't enough, by the way, for me. Just me. So there needs to be some discussion. And tonight I asked Dr. Alvarez to write a discussion of what goes along with this observation. And the observation, by the way, I owe to you all, because that's not me. And so Dr. Alvarez, I've asked her to talk about or to add a written discussion as to why this is important, being that something that's informative but also compelling. And I like this whole discussion about looking forward rather than justifying what we've had for, 100 years. Mm-hmm. And I just really am really impressed by you all in terms of looking outside the box, breaking through the envelope, and saying, you know, in the future, we need to really look at all of this carefully and what we've been doing carefully and what we've been doing. So, oh, and by the way, on Dr. Alvarez, if anyone has any, because you all down there here had a lot of discussion about this, and if you have any additions that you'd like to see or add or considerations, do that through Suzanne so we don't get in trouble with the open meeting law.
Mm-hmm.
And just go for it. And Dr. Alvarez, if there's, you know, I know the whole idea is to keep this to the point and brief, but if there's additional discussion, provide that additional discussion as an amendment or an addendum to the report proper. But, you know, you have the spirit, the experience, the academic rigor to do this. And that's why, and I don't. And that's why I'd like you to take the lead on this part.
Well, so Mr. Crum,
we're doing all kinds of interesting stuff tonight.
I want to speak a little bit about what we haven't done tonight, and that is, for example, consider rough proportionalities map 1 and 2. I think that all of us thought these, we are going in with two goals. I think my colleague here to my right was very strong on rough proportionality, and tonight you're not as strong on that point. But here's the irony. When we look at rough proportionality maps 1 and 2, well, 1 seems like, oh my God, it's Frankenstein, right? Like, what is this? So we haven't discussed it because I think there's a sense among all of us that, that's too much to bear. Rough proportionality 2 is equally kind of troublesome. It completely rearranges everything we know. And yet, look at it, rough proportionality map number 2 gives us in Ward 3 a Hispanic demographic of 46%. Well, guess what? That's kind of what we achieve by making that change in 2A. So that means that that change of precinct 37, which is the least disruptive, we respect Mr. Jaramillo's district, a precinct where he lives. We respect the folks that were here last week. Something has to give to shake a little bit of the status quo. And guess what? Not only does it achieve something close to that rough proportionality too, but it actually does it in a way that also provides the metric of the MPD. And it also throws off that freeway issue, which, as I have said, is not just a matter of, I mean, it'll be horrible if people there feel like they, but actually there's a bunch of good things happening along those corridors. And that freeway could actually be very, very beneficial to shift that to Ward 3, where I have also spoken about my own council member representative and the vision and the commitment he has demonstrated, and not only him, but all of the neighborhoods there that are included, Blue Moon and many others, that are sort of actively trying to change the way in which the city even operates in terms of distribution. So in that pure sense of analysis, it will be very, very much consistent with the goals that we have set. But even then, it's not our final decision. If there is a political consideration and the council caves, that's fine. But I think from our point, we are checking off things that are exactly what we said we wanted, as close as we're going to get it, because we will not be able to carve a third minority district out of this. We just can't without disrupting a whole bunch of other things. But that gets us to 46%. Which it's It's pretty good.
And this is the, when you say 46, is the 44.49? Is that the one you're referring to? Yeah, okay, yeah. No, that's a good point, yeah. Yeah, I think I was hammering the rough proportionality thing in favor of it in the first couple meetings, but then once I saw these maps, they are really disruptive. I think almost all of the precincts that people have complained about would be shifting in this. And so just to your earlier comment of why I'm no longer hitting that so hard is that I just think it would be chaos. I didn't quite realize how disruptive it would be to implement this rough proportionality.
So what I'm hearing is, are we getting close to a recommendation?
I mean, I still think 2A is, everyone's happy with 2A. Not everyone. As far as the complaints and feedback we've received from the public, who ultimately is who we're accountable to as a committee here, 2A seems pretty good to me. I think it meets all the criteria that we're looking at, and there's no, I'm not sure we've received a single complaint from any of the precincts that would be moving under 2A.
Do you mean 2A as it is tonight, or 2A with the amended precinct 37?
The 2A that we received a few days ago. Maybe let's call this one 2B. Can we call this 2B, where we move 37, just for the sake of consistent terminology?
I would like to make then the motion that we consider a new map tonight that is 2A with precinct 37 going to Ward 3.
Is there, for discussion purposes only, is there a second to that motion?
I second that.
All right. Discussion.
Wait, so the motion is that we're considering it? Or what? Is that the motion?
That we create a new map tonight that is 2A with that amendment.
Well, we should think, I think that's, yeah, that's valid to consider, definitely. But I think we should think about the timeline. So we have two meetings left, one of which is the public hearing next week. And then we have the meeting immediately after the hearing, plus one more full meeting after that.
Correct.
And then, so, yeah, go ahead.
Well, with that being said, I am very willing to entertain the idea of extending the public hearing by an additional meeting. I believe it's worthwhile if we're going to be considering a precinct that has historically demonstrated that they may not be okay with the idea. I would like to extend that. This way we can give folks in this particular community the opportunity to express themselves.
So another meeting in between the next one and our final meeting.
Yes.
Got it.
The only problem is that's Thanksgiving week. I think it's going to be hard for people to make it.
I can do that.
Didn't we say that last week?
So maybe a Monday or a Tuesday, is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
Sure, go ahead.
Thank you. For the folks in the affected areas, how are you going to extend the decision that we're making tonight? Is it going to be councilmen putting on the website that 37, how are we going to inform the community members of that move? I think that if we want them to hear what we're doing, I think it's important for them to
know in advance.
In advance, that way, if in fact they have a word to say, they're more than welcome to come and
yes.
voice themselves. I think that's important. Cause
am I ever aware of that? Yes.
Yeah, right?
So, yes, from personal experience. So
that should be stipulated as well. For the ones that are being affected, please inform community members of that. And then
my suspicion is that the Ward 1 council member will know about this. And
I was already tagged in a Facebook post, so yeah. Folks are watching.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
I have a question on precinct 37 of the 2,803 eligible voters. What's the percentage of them who are Hispanic?
Just a moment, we're getting you that answer.
There are 1,850 Hispanic population in precinct 37.
1,850?
Correct.
Thank you.
Is that eligible or total?
Voting age population is 1,356.
That's different from what we have in our document.
Our document says 2,803.
Is that the total population of that precinct?
Yes.
So was the question what the voting age, minority voting age population is?
So the precinct has 2,803 people, including children and everybody, right? Of that 2,803, what percentage is eligible to vote?
2,031.
And out of those 2,031, 1,150 are Hispanic.
One thousand three hundred fifty-six.
1,350? 56.
Thank you.
Is that Hispanic or minority?
That is Hispanic population.
Thank you. Because I do want to point out that there's a considerable difference between Hispanic and minority in Ward 3 under Map 2B, if we're calling it that. So I just want to make sure we use the right terminology there. Can we go over again the highway rationale? I'm not fully clear on that. I have heard a little bit about I've heard from the Biden administration, the idea that highways can divide communities and that causes a lot of harm. I'm familiar with that. I guess what I'm not clear on is how having a ward cross a highway would help. Like, would that distribute resources in some kind of more even way across the highway? Because are we saying that, like, Ward 1 funding Ward 37 enough, but Ward 3 would because it would cross the highway? Or, like, I'm not – just if you could help me connect those dots.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
Well, it comes down again to where Hispanic voters are concentrated at. And Hispanic voters are concentrated in Wards 5 and Wards 1. If we move forward with the proposal – that includes precinct 37, we would then be decreasing that concentration and make sure that the Hispanic voters in both of these wards begin to be equitably spread out amongst wards. I mean, the overall goal is to see all six wards, have an equitable amount of minority / and Hispanic voters. We would then be demonstrating that we want to see Hispanic voters have a bigger presence in wards that aren't Wards 1 and Wards 5.
So I understand that, and that's a good point. I do think that's a good point. I just don't see what that has to do with the highway.
Well, because 37 is right next to the freeway. And historically speaking, and Dr. Lidio Dedo from the university writes a book called La Calle, where she talks about the historical nature of gentrification happening because of the placement of the freeway. I mean, before the freeway, you had communities going back and forth, and then you have the placement of the freeway, and all of a sudden you have this physical barrier that only people with cars can be able to cross, and therefore sort of preventing any sort of economic and community growth, because it's just this nature of the freeway being this barrier. It's unfortunate, but it's not just a Tucson thing. We're seeing this across the country. And, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that the freeway was built in between barrios. There's a reason why there's no freeway on the east side, right? And I think it's about taking back, or, you know, I'm probably getting into my radical roots here, but, you know, it's about going beyond this figure that has gentrified our barrios for too long, and it begins by expanding these boards crossing the freeway.
Okay, thank you.
I also wanted to say that in this particular case, there's even a more immediate compelling argument, which is that's why I thought that including 143 originally would have made sense, and 37 sort of contiguous. And it's mostly because of the development on Grant and Oracle area, with the Pascua-Yaqui tribe investing in that, in the old, to see that area all in blue as part of a comprehensive master plan that crosses the freeway but impacts that neighborhood positively with potential federal investment, tribal industry. To me, that's an incredible opportunity specific to this moment in time and the development plans on Ward 3, of which I'm familiar with because that's my ward. And I just think that would be something rather unique for us. Now, we may not be able to convince folks, but in terms of the logic and the vision of what that could mean if Oracle and Grant development area were to encompass across the freeway with federal dollars, 37 and 143, absolutely. It's like the right thing to do.
So we have a motion and a recommendation. Any further discussion?
Just a point of clarification. If we, I think we should, by the end of this meeting, have a, maybe like pick one or two or three or however many maps and say to the public, these are the ones we're considering for the public hearing. Like, I don't think we, so that, I guess we may want to add that on to the motion or have it be a separate motion afterwards or something like that, to specify which maps we are considering and which ones we're scrapping, just so that we don't waste the public's time parsing through seven maps if we're actually only considering two. I don't know the correct procedural way to do that. I guess we could just make a motion. I'm not sure if that would be a separate motion afterwards.
I'm willing to amend my motion that I made that we advance maps 2 and 2A with the change that we made. I mean, 2A, I'm sorry, and then a new one that would be tonight, 2B.
Is that change acceptable to the seconder?
Yes, I second that.
All right. Further discussion.
Before you take a vote, Mr. Chair, may I just clarify you would forward map 2 2A and 2B, with the only change being from 2A moving 37. Thank you.
What do you think of that?
I think it's procedurally good. I like the idea of, you know, presenting the public with a small number of choices and kind of scrapping the rest. I still don't really think 2B is a good idea, just because we're going against the will of the people. I do like the idea of thinking big and thinking long term, but ultimately we are, I mean, we weren't elected, but we're representing elected officials, and it's, you know, in the spirit of democracy, I think, you know, proposing something that we know the public is going to hate is bad governance, and so I'm going to vote no on this.
Yep, and based upon my prior experience, let's see what they think. All right, ready? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Nay. And to clarify my nay vote, I would just prefer to go forward with 2A only. But, you know, this motion does include 2A, so it's, you know, I'm glad we'll be considering that going forward. My preference would be to just do 2A, but I respect the outcome of the vote.
To that point, do we need to make a motion to direct staff to scrap the other proposals and categorize them as rejected by the committee?
Is there a second? Or for discussion purposes?
Second.
Discussion.
I did kind of piggyback on your idea, so I'm really excited to hear what you have to say about that.
So the idea is to scrap 1, 2, 3, rough proportionality 1 and rough proportionality 2. In other words, everything but 2A and 2B. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Yeah, I support that.
Is that an amendment to the motion?
I think that's what she meant, right?
That is what I meant. I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any further discussion? Ready? All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. All right. Now, the discussion of another meeting in between the public hearing and our next scheduled meeting. See, I'm old, but I kind of remember sometimes.
Chairman Crum, so it's to my understanding that we already have a meeting scheduled for next Thursday. Of course, the following week is Thanksgiving. I believe we need a decision by December 31st. Is that what I'm understanding? So, you know, I know there are concerns around Thanksgiving, but if this means that we go into the wee weeks of December, then we go into the wee weeks of December and allow folks to give public comment.
I think we're supposed to stop by November 30th, right? We're
supposed to get the big bucks.
But aren't we supposed to give our recommendation to mayor and council by November 30th, and that gives them a month to make their choice?
Didn't we have some meetings for the 28th or 29th that we were considering?
That's correct, where we, I understand, review the final memo that will go to the mayor and council and sign it. That's what our final meeting is basically about.
Did we pick which day? I remember staff emailed us all about which days were available. Did we end up figuring out which day everyone can meet?
We didn't get a real consensus except probably the 29th or 30th. We can set that tonight if you're available to do that. And to answer Mr. Robles' question, the committee, the ordinance appointing you expires November 30th. For the sole purpose of the fact that the mayor and council have to adopt an ordinance for redistricting by December 31st. There are two meetings in December, the 6th and the 20th, with the idea of maybe if they want to schedule a public hearing or a study session item, they have two meetings to consider.
Okay, so then there's still going to be opportunity for people to express themselves. Okay. Then with that being said, we have a meeting on the 29th, 28th to put together a memo, essentially. I'm not sure if it would be the best interest of the committee to write the memo the same night we hear from folks, right? Because then we may be feeling differently. So it looks like we have no choice but to extend the hearing to the 21st or the 22nd. How would do my colleagues feel?
Wait, I'm unclear on why we have no choice but to do that. Could you repeat? Sorry.
Because we're tasked with putting together the memo the week of the 28th, 29th, 30th. I mean, unless we do a public hearing Monday and then 29th, but that's. I mean, I just want to have some sort of agreement amongst this committee of when we're okay with an additional public hearing taking place.
Do you mean a third public hearing? Because we have one next Thursday.
Yes. So that's what was included in my motion. Because we're including Precinct 37, I want to ensure that we give folks additional time to express themselves. And I believe that comes with an additional public hearing. But
so you want to have two more public hearings?
Including the one next week?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Why is the one next week not sufficient?
Well, I was just sort of responding to your concerns about us not giving ample time to a controversial precinct or controversial decision that includes an amendment with this precinct in Proposal 2B. So this was just, I felt that it was important to include an additional public hearing. Is that, would you agree or?
That makes sense in theory. I'm not a big fan of putting it on Thanksgiving week because so many people are out of town, both on this committee. Well, I don't know about the committee, but just having a public hearing the week of Thanksgiving seems like we're going to get raked over the coals for that. People are going to say, oh, they scheduled their hearing during a national holiday when everyone's flying and traveling. I think that's not a great look. I do think that given that we already have the map, it's done. It's not going to take staff 2 or 3 days. I mean, it's done right now, from my understanding, because it was just moving one precinct. A week might be enough time. I'm not totally sure. What do people think? Is that if we were able to get that map out tomorrow morning, would that be enough time that we would hope? No. Okay.
I believe Mr. Aitken is trying to speak.
Yeah, sorry, I don't know what the formal protocol is here with me zooming in and all, but with my experience having countless calls to the public in my previous lives, I don't know that more than one is necessary. As a matter of fact, we're probably opening up ourselves up to artillery fire the more public meetings we take. If we give them a week to review the information, it feels to me like the one on the 17th is sufficient. And if absolutely necessary, mayor and council can schedule another one. But I don't think it's necessary in my opinion and experience.
On the other hand, like if we do have one, so Councilmember Robles, your suggestion is one on the 17th and one on the 21st.
Well,
is that correct?
My suggestion included the 21st because you had expressed concerns.
Yeah.
About us not giving members of the public enough time to express themselves. So this was sort of a concession that I was wanted to put out there. But if my colleagues on this commission feel otherwise, I'm certainly willing to entertain that.
What if we do one on the 28th? Then they're spread up. Like, we could do the 17th and the 21st. And then one is, like, kind of short notice, and the other is Thanksgiving week, so neither is perfect. But if we have both, that's solid. But it might be even better to have one on the 28th. Although, I guess, just to circle back, staff, is it still worth having the one on the 17th? Or
I think that we should, I agree that we proceed with next week. It's a public hearing. We have two maps that are very similar, and we have pretty much done tonight as much tweaking as I think we will do, because 2A is acceptable to most of us. And then we tweak that for the purposes of the proportionality and all of these things that we discussed in 2B. I think it will be plenty to just have a conversation, a hearing in a week. And then just from there, we stay that night like we did last week and have a discussion and begin to draft our memo. And if we need to come back with a final meeting, that would be the 28th or 29th. I will be satisfied with that.
And just as a point of clarification, for our meetings on the 29th and 30th, or at least that week, we still have a call to the audience, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So even though it wouldn't be a formal hearing, we could still conceivably hear more from folks who maybe weren't able to attend on the 17th. Mm-hmm. And I would agree. I feel like we've got two really good proposals to go forward with. The other question that I have is, if we feel evenly divided, can we put forward both and let the mayor and council wrestle with the hard decision? Because I really feel like I would want to make sure that they would understand how torn we were on giving them something that was for their consideration. And one last question. I'm sorry, I should have asked this earlier. Current proportionality, we're at 11%. Is that 13%, correct? So we're kind of getting a little bit closer by being at 7. Thank you. I meant to ask that earlier.
Yeah, this one is at 3.
It's currently 13.4 for anybody listening, 13.4%. If we did nothing, if we made no changes. I guess I like Councilmember Robles' idea of having a second public hearing. I think it might be better not to have it Thanksgiving week. So what if we do it on the 28th? And then we have our next meeting on either the 29th or 30th. That would give us two more hearings, which I agree actually is the right way to go, given that this may be controversial, but also giving us time.
We can continue working as a commission after the public hearing, right? So we don't need to have a separate meeting the next day. We can just do the work on the 28th as well.
Yeah. That's true. That might be a long night, but I'm okay with that.
I believe Mr. Aitken has his hand up, his virtual
hand. Real hand. If I'm tracking all the discussion tonight, there's really only one substantive difference between 2A and 2B, right? It's 37?
Yes.
Yes.
Do we really feel like that one change merits having a second public meeting?
Yes, I do. Excuse me. Sorry, I can't see your name from afar. Commissioner Aiden.
That's okay. Aiken.
Thank you for your grace.
Sure.
You know, and we've learned tonight and throughout our conversations that Precinct 37 is as a community that is particularly passionate when it comes to redistricting. And as a representative from Ward 1, in conversation with our colleagues up here, I believe that it's necessary to provide any sort of opportunity for folks to express themselves. Public hearing, call to the audience. I think public hearing warrants attention amongst many people in our community. And, you know, if it means we come in on a Monday or Tuesday, then that's something I'm willing to do, to allow folks to express themselves, whether they're in support of map 2B or against 2B.
I'd like to make a motion. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was making a bad joke.
Giving you an Oscar for that.
Thank you.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion, and we can discuss as part of this.
We all already have a motion on the table to have an intermediate meeting, and if we do, that motion needs to be withdrawn.
Okay, can I make a friendly amendment and see if that works, or a regular amendment? I'm not sure.
So I just want to keep the desk clean of things that we're not going to do anymore. But whoever made that motion,
I do think we should have a second meeting.
It gets withdrawn.
I'd like to make an amendment.
I believe I made the motion. Please, sorry. Okay. Didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
I'd like to make an amendment to the existing motion on the table that the second meeting that was made in that motion be on Tuesday, November 29th as a public hearing, and then this committee can stay afterwards and also meet again on the 30th if necessary.
Is there a second?
I second that.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Motion passes. All right. Thank you. Okay. Future agenda items. I think we've talked about that, have we?
And to clarify for anyone in the audience, we now have two more public hearings. One is next Thursday, the 17th. And then the next one is Tuesday the 29th. So if you can't make it to one of those, you can come to the other.
And we will continue to do news releases and use the help and assistance of our public information office to get the word out in English and Spanish and word it as the redistricting advisory committee has two proposals to put forward for public input.
And let the Hunger Games begin.
All right. Are we ready to adjourn? All in fit. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
One moment, please. I believe Commissioner Aiken didn't get to vote on the last motion.
No, it's not that. It's I wanted to vote on the last motion, but the chair asked for discussion on the scheduling item, and the other members of the committee don't realize I also serve on a governing board for the school district, and I was just trying to quickly check my calendar to see if there was going to be a conflict. As it turns out, there's not a conflict, but I wanted to be afforded a bit more time to do that, and the chair didn't offer any time for discussion. That's all.
Thank you. So your vote was?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Aiken.
Yep.
Okay. All in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. Let's go home. Thank you.